Turn in Matthew 6. When thou prayest, you have to prayest. Enter into that closet, inner sanctuary. Shut the door. Step out of this jurisdiction into his jurisdiction. You know, it was so amazing. As the Lord showed me something about perambulation, it's taking a little time. He said, you remember back in the day when I spoke to you about moving through this door and entering in, and you were so excited, the days you could even get through the door, you'd call people and say, man, I got through the door today. Praise God. And that was just the feat of everything, just to get through the door. We thought we were ready for a revival. It took such a season to do that. And now most of us can step through like that. Just literally step in. You step through because faith is open. That light has opened it up. That's going to be the way with all of it, honestly. You're going to see it in the Father that morning and walk in it, or the next day. But when he's creating all these realms, he's laying a roadmap down. So he's being very thorough. God's a completely thorough God. Amazing. He said, enter your sanctuary, shut the door, pray your Father, which is in that secret place. He's in that realm. Pray in front of him. And the Father that sees you there will reward you openly. Amen? There's a lot to that verse, but I want to move into verse 9 for a minute. After this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven. Where is he? Where is the secret place? Where are you supposed to pray to him at? You can pray to him here. I mean, it's not like we don't have to be religious about it, but we can pray to him here. You're just going to be more effective there. It's just kind of the way he set it up. He set it up for you not only to pray to him, but to be invited in to a living fellowship with what you're praying for, receiving it. You receive from him there, you pray to him there, you see, and then he opens the glory realm, because the Lord invites you into the realm of the glory of the Father. And what is the glory? Anybody want to tell me what the glory is? Okay, so he says, I will you be with me. I will you be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory, for my Father's loved me from the foundations of the world. What is the glory? It's the oneness. Yes. And what else is it? It's the glory. It's the Shekinah glory. It's that cloud that comes around, isn't it? But that cloud's here, but the glory is the Father of light. It's him that is, who was, who is, and is to come. When he invites you in to himself, he invites you in to a living fellowship with who he is, the substance of who he was, and the glory of those things that are to come. He'll love you right there where you are and accept you, and shower you, clothe you, baptize in your love. And then once he loves you, he's going to invite you in to a kingdom operation with himself, in which he's going to show you, invite you into a realm of himself that is to come. And he's going to invite you into the glory of the realm of him that is to come, which is his book for you. And he's going to fellowship with you in that book. Because in that book where he's inviting you in, he's going to clothe you with that future substance, and you're going to bring it into the now. That's what Isaiah saw when he saw the train full of the glory of God, remember? And he was up in the glory. And what were the creatures, the seraphim, doing? Same ones that John saw. What were they doing? Holy, holy, the whole earth is full of the glory. And what did Isaiah come back with? The message of, you're in idolatry and you're going into Babylon captivity for 70 years. But the four living creatures weren't seeing that. When he was there, they were seeing the whole earth is full of glory, when in reality, the whole earth was full of idolatry. And he was coming back to tell them that you are all going into 70-year captivity. But that's not what those seraphim were saying. Because they were in front of the glory. The whole earth is full of glory. They were in front of the Father seeing another day. Isaiah didn't just prophesy of his day. He also prophesied of the Lord's day and our day. So he actually got caught up in the glory and began to see the realms of our day and prophesied it. Isaiah 6:3, 6:4, 6:5, 6:6. Isaiah 45, all of those are our day. Amen? And that what's happened in the glory of Peter, James, and John. Glory comes down and Peter starts talking and glory overshadows them, right? And they get caught up in the glory of the Father. What happens? Suddenly, they're caught up in the glory of God. We don't know what all happened in that exchange, but we know a little bit of what happened in that exchange because Peter wrote about it in his book, 2 Peter, right? And what did he write about? What did he say? He said, when we gave witness to you of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, say second coming, which hadn't happened yet, not even our day, he said, we were not giving you old wives' fables, tales. But we have a more sure word of prophecy, being eyewitnesses of his majestic glory, and they were giving witness to the second coming of the Lord Jesus that hadn't even happened. Because they got translated into the glory. That's what the glory does. It translates you into the Father. And they come back and they bear witness of a realm that he said he was an eyewitness of the second coming of the Lord. That's the glory. When John gets caught up into the realm and sees the whole book of Revelation, that's the glory. Now those are encounters in the glory. God's encountering them. He loves to encounter the people that are really close to him. That is one of the treasures he gives to them. He gave it to Daniel. He gives them the revelation of the future. That's what he does. Did it Enoch. I mean, he does all these men that get caught up in his glory. They get to see what others can't see. But there's the other operation of the glory of him that has come where he just lets you see right in front of you. Not only see it, but encounter it. Right? Receive it. That's what we're talking about right now. What is the glory? Him that was, him that is, his that come, and all the realms that pertain to that. That's where you enter in. That's who you're praying to, by the way. So you're not just going up there, releasing a request and saying amen. You're going up in there to enter. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will. My Father will give it to you. My Father will love you. He'll give it to you and then I'll do it. There's a big process here. But it's a glorious process, right? It's earth-shattering stuff that God's going to give to you. Amen? So, he said, after this man, pray our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot there. First of all, let's talk about will. Thy will. The will, his plan, his testament. Everything that he wills for you, vocation, calling, destiny, and every other operation defined by his word is his will for you. His will for you is discovered by revelation. His perfect will is discovered by revelation. His will for you is in himself. There are certain things that he's already given by scripture that are already his will, plan, calling, destiny. Other things like who you are, your office is in him. He ascended on high. In the right hand of God, receive gifts, operations for men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, helps, governments, servants, tongues. All of that is in Christ, in heavenly places, is a part of his will, already predetermined, pre-mapped out, pre-written in a book for you. That's part of his will. Everything Christ inherited on your behalf upon his ascension into the throne is God's perfect will for you. When he received dominion and glory and honor and a kingdom, guess what? The Bible specifically says you were raised together in the same way. You're buried with him, but then you come up with him. Everything that happened to him happens to you. The dominion, the honor, the glory, the crowning, all of that belongs to you. I set my king on the holy hill of Zion. You're a joint heir to that, right? It takes a renewing of the mind sometimes to understand what is his will. If I don't know what his will is, then you can write this down. God's will is God's plan, is God's dream. God's will is God's dream for you. Certain things have been mapped out. Some things have to be specifically revealed to you. That's part of your calling, office, destiny. But other things are already there. They're yours. Mount Hebron's there. Do you know that? I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. He inherited all that. Inherited all of Abraham's blessing. Right? How we know that? Because he said he was the heir. Seed singular, and that we are what? Heirs of the promise. So everything he inherited was all for you. This is the point you must see. Every single thing God the Father gave him, he already had before he ever got here. He already had all this. The reason why he came, he had to receive it back on the behalf of man because it all got stolen. So he had to come down as a man to retrieve the original mandate of the Father. And he had to come in as a man. He die to that old operation, be raised, and then the Father reassigned everything that was assigned to Adam, got reassigned to Christ. We always look at it, Christ has all that, but all that was for you because he's the last Adam. You are a part of this. He's not ashamed to call you a brother. You're joined with him in salvation, but you're also joined with him in all the things he's inherited for you, which is his will, his plan, his destiny, his promise, his dream. Already given in heavenly places, laid up. And we know why he did that. Why did he lay it up in heavenly places? So he laid it up so the devil couldn't get it, right? But you have access. That's why you have to go there. Because that's where it's at. That's where the glory's at. That's where everything you need is at. So I just opened my constitution and I just look at all things that the Lord inherited on his ascension because he didn't do this for himself. He did it for you. Say he did it for me. I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me now, son, the nations for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Guess what happened? As soon as his ascension came in, the Lord came into the Father, asked, as soon as he sat him down for the nations, God said, I want the nations. I want a new breed now, Father. I am the first of a new breed to come in and grant me the nations as my inheritance, uttermost parts as my possession. Reassign everything to me. He said, yes. I set my anointing on the apostles. First one out. 3,000 born again. First inheritance. Boom. 5,000 born again. Boom. God answering the Son's own prayer. Now we're part of that. Nations, uttermost parts of the earth. Pretty good, huh? All power is given to heaven. I mean, there's a lot of you. I blessed you with all, say all, some spiritual blessing. All that spiritual blessing has to be materialized here. So there's a process by which it goes from spiritual to material, like a healing. Now you can have an anointing of healing, but it's still coming out from the same realm, or you can draw it by faith, but it still goes from spiritual to material. Say spiritual to material realm. Invisible to visible. There's a process. That's what we're trying to learn here. What is the process of getting God's will? Because first we got to discern the will. Thy Father, thy will be done on the earth as it's done in heaven. Exactly the way it's done. Exactly the way it's finished. Exactly the way it's accomplished. Exactly the way it's here. Let it be done here. Well, this doesn't look like anything like heaven right now. Right? How do we get that will down here? Well, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, but there's a little bit more to that, right? We receive it. How do we receive it? I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking about how to receive it. How do I receive the Father's plan for me? How many of you know what God's plan for you to do? How many of you have God ever talked to in here? Raise your hand. How many has God ever prophesied to you? Raise your hand. Okay, so how many of God's ever sent a revelation to you of who you are? Raise your hand. Okay, so God's talking to you, right? How many of you have ever had a revelation come out from God's realm to this realm and exploded in you, and you felt the faith, the glory, the life of it? Raise your hand. Do you know why you felt the glory, the life, and the faith in it? You know why that when it first landed in you here, that you felt like, I could do this right now? Do you know why that happened? Because it came out of himself. That's actually a product of Father. Same faith, glory, presence, life. That's a product of himself. He sent something out of himself just for you. Now, this is his process. Now, watch this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, by token of that prayer, if I'm standing in the earth, his will hadn't been done yet. So, where is his will? Where else is it? If I'm standing on the earth, where is it? Yeah, it's in our spirit man, but it's in heaven. It's in heaven instead of jurisdiction, right? But it's in my future here. Because it's not in my present. So it has to be somewhere other than present, right? So when I'm encountering the will of the Father in heaven, I'm literally encountering a future position as where the earth is concerned, but a present position where God's concerned. Because he's just him that was, is, and is to come. To him, it's like, we're done here. This is who you are. This is what I called you to do. This is who I've made you. This is what you're going to do. And this is finished, right? But it's not finished there. Because from that point of view, it's a future position. But from this point of view, it's a now position in the Father. So what I need to do, like Abraham, all God did with Abraham is tell him to look at the stars and the sand, because that's what your descendants of your future look like. But if you try to find your future right here, Abraham, you're not going to find it, because if you're just trying to give birth in yourself, because I'm going to give you something to look at that's going to tell you who you are. Okay? Who we are is found in the Father. Right? Now we're talking 100-fold stuff here. We're talking how to get all that realm here. That's what God wants for the last days. You really want to know what God wants for the last days? He wants all that realm here. He wants the manifested realm of the Father here on the earth. And the Lord is not coming back until this happens. I'm telling you, the church can walk in this. We're going to walk in this. Amen? Try not to make this too dizzy. I'm trying to show you a reality that Father, here, all of this is already completed. We've got to bring this completed part here, but how do I do that? Well, the first thing I got to do, as I'm here, I got to respond to what he said. What did God say? That's why Habakkuk says, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables. Why? The first order of things is to finalize that this is God's will for me. I don't want to start anything unless I know for a certainty it is God's will, right? How many of you got at least one thing that you know for a certainty is God's will? Raise your hand. Okay, that's all we need. Let's get started. That's it. One thing. So what we want to do is take that encounter, that word, that revelation, that plan, and we want to just, you don't have to create a constitution like this, but you're going to have to get serious about it. Because the devil's going to try to steal it going up. He's going to try to steal it coming down. And he's going to try to steal it all around. Because that's all he wants, is the thing he can't have. He's never satisfied, and he wants what he can't have. And what he can't have is what's laid up for you in heavenly places. So he's going to fight you from ever getting it. So we write the vision, we make it plain, if you just write it down on the page. Because before we start this process of prayer and relation, I need to know exactly what God has said. I'm going to write it down, find scripture that pertains to what God has said to you, okay? You don't have to get a whole constitution like this, but you need something that reminds you of exactly what you're going to do every day. Because all this is a small portion of seeds that's coming out from a large book that's in the Father. When I say seeds, when I say seven pillars of apostolic government, I'm just laying foundation that he does this, but that government's going to unfold here. There's no way I can possibly know everything that's going to happen, but I have seeds to know what it looks like. Because it's a seed. So he sends the seed to me, right? He wants me to bring that back to where he's at. We have a word. We have a promise. We have something that we haven't encountered yet that's in our future, that we want our future to manifest. How many want to see what God said to you manifest? The number one thing in the body of Christ right now is nobody hardly ever gets answered prayer. I'm sorry, but they don't. I talked to plenty of pastors, plenty of ministers, and most promissory people are not walking. I didn't say not all, but a lot of promissory people are not walking in the promise. The whole prophetic generation looking for the last day promise, everyone's looking for it. It's very, you can't see these things. And citywide revival, we don't see this kind of thing. Is that fair? Is it God's will? No, I mean, yeah, it's not God's will, but is it God's will for it to happen? So it is for will. So there's something wrong with the exchange going on here, right? That's what God wants to correct. He wants to teach how this exchange works. Because the Lord didn't have a problem with it. He came in and did it, right? And he showed it as his example that we should do it. So if we can find out how this works, I think we're going to start seeing kingdom manifest a lot more. It's a kingdom. I have a few things about kingdom. I'll say a few things about dreaming. I'll say something about kingdom. What we see in church is a small portion, maybe, of what kingdom is. But we can't define the kingdom by what we've been exposed to or what we're seeing right now, because the kingdom is far grander and greater than what most of us, all of us really, are experiencing on a daily basis. Case in point, if the Lord's here, we would start seeing kingdom right now manifested here. Would you agree with that? The Lord's ministry here, we would see something our eyes that don't see very often. We would see things because he would be manifesting, and the first thing he'd say, the kingdom's come down unto you. It's at hand, and things would start happening. Boom, 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 boom. And then we try to do it. He goes, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I do this for you? That's what he said. Right? Because he expected them to learn how this worked. Right? Kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's a pearl of great price. He said, a man, if he can see it, will sell all that he has. Here's the problem. We don't always see it. We lose the focus of it. We get distracted. And we don't understand that it is beyond anything that we deem important in this life. It's so far beyond it. And when kingdom, I'm going to say it in the simplest terms that I'm being told, kingdom is the creative will of the Father being manifested into the earth. Creative plan of the Father, will of the Father, testament of the Father, promise of the Father. Right? So, when we say kingdom, it's first of all, what's first? Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? Good pleasure. Say it's good pleasure. Father's good pleasure to give. So there's no problem on his end. He freely gives all things. He that withheld not his only son. So if he didn't withhold his son, is he standing up there withholding right now? If he did not withhold his only son, how shall he not freely give? Right? So he freely gives, good pleasure to give it. Give, give, give. He's giving. But the issue is we haven't understood how that works yet. Fully. I don't want to say we're learning, right? Because I think if we knew how this worked, we would start seeing more of it. Would that be a good assessment? Father, creative realm of the Father, sends out his will to us over here in this land. Promise. word, revelation, inspiration, boom, boom. It lights us up, gets us excited, ready to go, got his faith in it. But that's only going to be a measure because it was sent into you a measure. And it was designed because the way God does a promissory roll is an invitation. You got to see when God encounters you, it's an invitation for his plan to roll out in you. It's an invitation by divine invitation to come to where he is, right? Now, how do we do that? I'm just going to give you some simplistic things to start with. I want you to bring one promise, one unfulfilled promise that you want to see God actually answer this year, this month, before the end of the year. Or you just want to see the Father answer. And I want you to have at least one, two, three scriptures that support what he said. And I want you to say, I know for a certainty. I want you to say, I do solemnly declare that this is the perfect will of God for me. In the name of Jesus. And I want you to sign it. Okay? Now I have his plan, I have scripture, and I've got a solemn declaration with my own signature. This is perfect will of God. Well, Father, if it be thy will. Okay, well, you're not going in the Father like that. Father operates a supreme court. He wants evidence. You coming to me? No, no, let's go back to the room where I can love you for a while. Right? You're not ready for joint heirship. Let's go love you for a while. And you come back, Father, I am an heir. Okay, come on in. And why, by what rights are you an heir? I am in Christ. And I've come up through his righteousness. Now I come up through his own crown because I'm joint heir with him. I'm not standing in my own righteousness, not standing in my own. So I'm in him now. And God says, yes, come on in. Okay, now, what do you want? So I'm going to ask, right? And what is God's answer? Yes for you, something I don't like about you today, and yes for you. Well, if you want to know what his answer is, write it down. Oh, by the way, you said that it was your good pleasure to give it to me. And you said you freely give it to me. And you said it was already mine, and you said it was finished. Right? God said, well, yeah, you're correct about that. Right? So now God says, yes. Now we got to take what you just asked for back there. By the way, you are going to be, we'll call you the glorified donkey. That Christ is going to ride back down in. Before we do, we got to load you up. Yes, it's all spiritual right now. Everything you're asking for is in a spiritual state, but it's going to get materialized back in your realm. But right now, it's got to be received in a spiritual state. But I've given you something that the Old Testament saints didn't have. You have a nature that has the capacity to receive spiritual blessings. And you can be clothed in it. And I can make the transfer to you. Father says, I will transact in the name of Jesus, and I'll bring it from spirit to your spirit, from my spirit to your spirit. And you'll bring it down, and the Lord will stand on the other side, and he'll manifest it for you. That's really what's going to happen. But before it gets transferred to your spirit, to my spirit, that was the great mystery. The way God transfers is through imagery and through the spoken word. That word will what? Be in your heart, be in your mouth. Say heart, mouth. Right? So God's got to transfer his living will that he sent to me, that what's on that page, he said, oh, by the way, I only sent you a seed, but now we got to clothe you in the whole thing, right? So how are we going to get this seed? I got to transfer the whole image to you. You only have a part of the image. So represent your seed. So now I'm going to start dreaming with him, or I'm going to enter his will, his plan, his book, however you want to see that. So now I have his plan, I have his seed, I have a promise. I said this to somebody the other day, I'll just use that. I said, you need to be dreaming right now that God, that you're in a full-time ministry, right now. I said, not tomorrow, right now. You are ready right now. You need to dream that right now. Okay, so let's just say we're that person that's ready for full-time ministry. Perfect will of God, already ready, already opened the door. I'm just using this example. There's a thousand things you can be doing. Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. So what do? Father, thank you. You call me to full-time ministry. I ask for the separation. Yes, you have it. I ask you to make the way. Yes, you have that. Okay, now what? What does that look like? Well, I have a creative book for your full-time ministry. And as soon as you step in, here's how you do it. Father, I see that you have separated me into the full-time ministry. Now, if you're not ready for that, don't go dreaming that. I'm using this as an example. Father, I see that, okay, now what's going to happen? He's going to actually employ your heart center to see what that looks like. Not the mind, the heart. And you're going to start, Father, I see I'm waking up in the morning and I don't have to go to the world anymore. Now, to someone who's called and been separated to God, that is everything. I can wake up to you, Father. I see myself being able to pray and spend all this glorious time with you and all this time that I've asked for. And I'm back around suddenly. I see myself, I'm in and I see myself praying and then I see myself getting up and coming up to the Father's house and I see myself doing this and I see this happening and all of a sudden you're doing this and you get lost or found, probably a better word, in your future. And all of a sudden all of this that you're seeing is coming from a living realm of the Father and you're starting to get excited and all of a sudden Father injects part of his will into you. You didn't see. Oh, I never saw that. And as soon as he injects it, oh, I see. Cause he starts adding. Cause now you brought the seed to him. And what he's doing is extracting the image of the seed. Now the seed's starting to extract. You see that? And as that seed extracts the image, all those thoughts are starting to come out from the Father. Cause you're in the Father and you're seeing it and it's glory and you're feeling the freedom and the liberties and Father, this is so glorious. I see all the things I'm doing and you go through and you start seeing little meetings you're having with people. And you see yourself in the ministry and doing certain things that you had already done and you're in a living realm of the Father. You're actually in a service. And you're seeing things happen in that service. You know, preachers I've talked to said, God showed me this very day 15 years ago. I saw this happen. Of course you did. It was in his book. But you can go there. And see all that and live all that. And then you come back. Now, sometimes if you ever hear me say, I got to get back. I'm so up in there. I'm pulled into that realm. It's pulling me so hard that there's a time I have to come back. Because it's so contagious in there. If I just told you what God did this morning alone. I sat down in a position and in my promised land and he did nothing for me until I got there. And as soon as I got there, boom, he loved me for 45 minutes straight. All I did was cry in this beautiful love in a position of my promised land. And it was just pouring over and over again. And I was so caught up in this realm of this future realm with him. It wasn't a cloudy realm. It was a very specific place. He said, go right here and sit there. And I was there. And then boom, the love of God started. I'm like, he's loving me in the future now where he used to love me in the upper room. Most of his love encounters with me now are in my future promise, but it's real. Beautiful. Glorious. It didn't stop till I just said, thank you, Father, I needed that. You don't know how much ministers need love. Our love tank gets pulled upon a lot. I was like, oh God, that'll get me going. He's so honoring and he's so loving. He goes, I've done all this for you. This is all yours. And I'm in what he gave me. And I'm like, man, and the honor that's flowing and the love that's flowing. And I'm in this future book. But his book's got the same love that if I was in him over here in the upper room. God doesn't differentiate. It's same love, same Father. And then you come back here. Well, you're coming back with something from another realm. And as you do that, and we get what happens, you build a pathway. How many of you know like a part of that pathway going up? And how many of you can go through that pathway? Okay, why? Because it's a pathway. And how many, some of that pathway has gotten easy? Because it's a pathway. And how many was it? It was hard in the beginning because there wasn't a pathway. What built the pathway? Faith. The word built a pathway. Same thing. So why am I having to do this over and again? Because God's building a roadmap. He's building a pathway for that to come down because it's got to pass a jurisdictional boundary. Okay. And he's got to pass it through it, and you're building a roadmap. And every time you do it, you're like building and putting another stone on the path, another stone, another stone. You're laying the pathway down each time, and you don't think anything's happened. Each time he's given you, you're coming up and he's giving you more of the picture, but there's going to come a time the picture gets complete. Okay, you got it. It's been transferred from the Father to you. You have enough. You have enough for a new day. Say new day. This new day, it's the day what? The Lord has made. He's going to make a new day. It's not a 24-hour day. It's the day you are experiencing in the Father. He's going to create that in the earth. He's going to take all that invisible spiritual substance that's there. He's going to you're going to bring it here through human dominion authority by way of the Spirit. You're bringing Father down. Why? Because he clothed you with it. Sometimes it's just a transference, but sometimes he's clothing you with a whole image of himself. It's the creative image of the Father. He's filling you with the very image of his thoughts towards you. Now they're your thoughts. Our Father in you now. Father just got up in you, in the will of the Father just got up in you. I got Father up in me. You come here and you release that to the Lord. You loose that and you speak to this jurisdiction now because you're coming back. When you go up that pathway, you're a lamb. When you come down, you're a lion. I'm coming from another realm. Now I'm in this circumstance and this thing looked nothing like what I just was in. But I'm not in this circumstance being baptized in unbelief or religious or anything else. I come from another realm and I command this realm to follow me where I am in the I am because I've come out from another place. You won't get that the first day going in. But the more you do that, you're going to get clothed in audacity, kingdom authority. And you're going to come in here. I say the will of God be done now on the earth as it is where I have been with the Father in heaven. You speak with authority. You release with authority. You loose with authority. Amen. Now you're ready for the next teaching, which I'm not going to do today. The Lord our rewarder. Him and the Holy Spirit are about to take the invisible substance you just received from the Father, and they're going to do something awesome. They're going to take the material, the invisible realm, and they're going to materialize it just like they did in the creation of the earth. When the Father spoke it out of himself, the Lord took that word, and the Holy Spirit took that word, and they created the whole earth. They took that which was invisible, spiritual, and they created a material world that supersedes. The spiritual realm supersedes the material realm. Do you see that now? That is how God is designed for us to function. When that realm gets complete, it doesn't matter how impossible it is over here. Because that realm is going to supersede this one. Always has, always will. That is how he's designed us to function, operate. He's trying to train us how to do this, not just do it forever and not get the result. He wants us to understand the way he did this. That's why he says faith is the evidence, the substance of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance. You have substance.